You can't stop thinking about it, no matter how hard you try. You've got some event or interaction from your past or future on an endless negative loop in your brain, and you're feeling more anxious, depressed, and overwhelmed as a result. Why do you do this when you know it doesn't help? And of course, how can you stop? Today, I'm answering all your questions and bringing you my 5 steps to stop, or at least greatly minimize, ruminating and repetitive negative thinking. So stay tuned.
I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, and I'm a practicing psychologist, number one Amazon best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and all-around relationship maven with over 35 years of experience helping people just like you. Join me as I teach you actionable tips and strategies to create connection, joy, and ease in all your relationships. So let's get to it.
Hello, here you are again. Here I am again. Very happy to have you here. I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, and coming at you today with yet another question from you. Someone, I think they left a message under a video on YouTube or somewhere else. I can't remember right now, but asking about rumination and, you know, negative thinking. I've done some episodes a long time ago, back around 111, 112, 113, so a really long time ago, around negative thinking and how to stop it. I will link to those in the resources, but today I'm taking a fresh take, as you know I like to do, and bringing back the topic in a new way and really getting narrow, not just on negative thinking, but repetitive negative thinking. So let's jump in there. Worrying or thinking about something that's bothering you is, of course, normal. Lots of people do it. Even overthinking can be normal. However, having persistent negative thoughts about something or someone that you can't stop, even though you've tried, is another story. When your thinking becomes compulsive about a topic and all that thinking doesn't lead to any healthy solutions, that's when you know you're engaging in unhealthy rumination. And rumination turns normal worries into a habit of repetitive negative thinking. And I'm going to use that word habit a lot today to remind you that, like any habit, you can break it with the right combination of tools. So, want to say that. I also want to give a disclaimer, which I'll give again at the end, is that rumination, and I'm going to talk about it, is often linked to many different mental health issues. And depending on your particular combination and who you are, you might need to be seeing a qualified therapist, probably a psychiatrist too, possibly having a medication prescribed or medications prescribed. So I don't want to diminish that. This podcast has always been meant, I started it we're almost done with year 6 of the podcast. So I started it all those years ago because I wanted to make evidence-based research, tools, effective strategies available to everyone, accessible to everyone. And coupled with my 40 years of experience, I want to put those things together for you with what I know works. So I know that some of you don't have access or can't afford certain kinds of care. So that's why this is here. But I do want to say if there's any way that you can add a qualified therapist, that you can add possibly medication if that's what's called for, then that's a great thing to do, along with all the things I'm going to teach today. Okay, so what is rumination? Rumination is also known as repetitive negative thinking, or RNT, or repetitive negative thinking, RNT. The American Psychological Association, or the APA, defines rumination as obsessional thinking involving excessive repetitive thoughts or themes, you know, something that you're a theme that you think a lot about, that interfere with other forms of mental activity, meaning it's really getting in the way of you leading a happy life. Maybe you're having trouble at work concentrating on, you know, an Excel sheet you're working on because you keep getting pulled by these thoughts. That's really what this means. It's interrupting you. So basically, we're talking about a repetitive negative thought cycle that's on some sort of endless loop with no completion, no resolution in sight. RNT has repetitive negative thinking has also been defined in the research, which I like thinking of this way, as a style of thinking about your current, future, past, whatever problems or negative experiences. Those could be past negative experiences or anticipated negative experiences that are repetitive, intrusive, difficult to disengage from, and are unproductive. Somehow it's not helping you get to where you're trying to go. So how do you know if you're just ruminating or if you're ruminating versus just, you know, just thinking about something? Maybe I'm just thinking about something, Abby. Well, there are a few signs that you're engaged in unhealthy rumination versus just thinking about something important. So those signs are, first and foremost, I would say the importance of the thing you're thinking about. So if you're worrying about what you said in a meeting 2 months ago, is that really something you should still be thinking of now, right? You said something in February and you're thinking about it in May. That's a problem, right? Just that. Well, you know, and by this time, that is, and it was something maybe you said in passing and now you think this person's looking at you funny or I don't even know, but you can't get this thought. Again, it's predominant. It keeps coming up. That should let you know this is rumination, not something that's healthy for me to be, you know, trying to problem solve or work through. Another sign is that really negativity is predominant or you're only focusing on the negative aspects of a situation. So if you're thinking in a healthy way about something, there should be both negative and positive thoughts. And I hate using these terms negative and positive, you know, but we're just going to roll with it. You can also think healthy and unhealthy, but you can sometimes think about that you're seeing something in more maybe a pessimistic view versus an optimistic one. There's a lot of words we could use here. And I will say that's another sign that your thinking is overly pessimistic. If you haven't taken the Learned Optimism Jumpstart workshop yet, which is completely free, you can download it on the website, on the shop page, or if you're watching me on YouTube, please like and subscribe. You can find it under the video in the shop that's now under the video. How exciting is that? Now, if you're watching on YouTube, you can like get my stuff right there in a shop right below. It only took me 6 years to put that together, people. Okay? 6 years. And like I'm pretending I put it together. We all know that it was, you know, my beautiful right hand, Michelle, that put that together. But anyway. Another sign is that there are overriding cognitive distortions. And cognitive distortions, there's a lot of them, but such as, you know, all or nothing thinking, black and white thinking, catastrophizing, those are ways that we distort what is happening. Another sign is that you feel worse after thinking about the thing. That's how you know you're ruminating. You don't feel good after ever. And really linked to that is that you don't come up with any good, healthy solutions to the issue, which is why you feel like crap after. There's no new perspective. You know, there's no aha moments. So that lets you know you're in rumination and not just thinking about something or maybe problem solving something. Another thing I notice with my clients is that when you're problem solving, if you're really thinking about something and you're trying to get to a solution, you should ultimately feel calmer about the situation or the person. But when you're ruminating, there's actually adrenaline and cortisol, these stress-inducing hormones flying around your system. So you have this sort of adrenaline surge instead of a sort of calming feeling that lets you know that you're ruminating and not doing some healthy problem solving or thinking through something. I would say also when you are, you know, doing that, when you're in repetitive negative thinking or rumination, you feel guilt, overwhelm, shame, hopeless, helpless. Those are the predominant emotions, which are not there when we are problem solving or when we're thinking about something in a healthy way and trying to get clarity on it. We're not always problem solving something. Sometimes we're just looking for clarity and to understand something, again, to have sort of an aha. So when you're ruminating, you don't have those. They don't come up on the other side. You know you're ruminating basically because you feel worse with no clear way forward. Even after all that thinking, you haven't put anything into perspective or come up with solutions or next steps. Again, there's the guilt, the shame, the overwhelm, the helpless, the hopeless. This is where you know you're in a little bit of trouble. Okay. All right. So what causes rumination? That's going to be your next question. Abby, what causes rumination? Well, so in the past, clinicians and researchers really believed that people had a mental health issue, you know, depression or anxiety, and that rumination was a result of that. And rumination has for sure been linked to a number of mental health issues, including the aforementioned depression and anxiety, but also obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD, post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD, eating disorders, substance use disorders. And what's interesting, and it's been shown that rumination, of course, exacerbates all those conditions. And any of those conditions, when you're ruminating, it makes it worse. But there's research that now shows that this rumination, this repetitive negative thinking, is actually a causal mechanism in the development and the maintenance of those kinds of mental health issues. So again, I want to be clear about this. Before, we always thought that, oh, you have depression or anxiety, so you start to have, you know, that's a symptom of it. And it is sometimes. However, it's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? The fact that you then get into these really unhealthy habits of thought, remember, habit of thought, the ruminating and the continued negative thinking, it keeps your depression going. It keeps your anxiety going. So they're like feeding each other. Again, which came first, the chicken or the egg? It's just important to know you got to take care of it. So, and the APA has listed some common reasons for rumination. And I could get these from the other research too. So, and of course, the first thing, and I want to remind people this so you're not really beating up on yourself too much, is that you believe that somewhere in your head that ruminating will help you, that thinking and thinking and thinking about this thing will help you gain insight into it. That is the number one reason most people ruminate. They just think somehow if I figure out this piece, this why, this how, then I'll have a new insight. And of course, I'll be able to help this not happening again, because that's really where that comes from. Does that make sense? Okay. Another thing is there's often a history of emotional or physical trauma of some kind. There are definitely certain personality traits like perfectionism, codependency that lend themselves to rumination and repetitive negative thinking. And of course, all the mental health issues I just mentioned, right? So hopefully that all makes sense as you're thinking about this. And I do want to mention too that the research shows that women tend to ruminate more than men. I don't think that's a shock to any women listening, but it might be to the men listening. As always, by the way, I will have a resource section under the video if you're watching me and seeing my fabulous shirt, and on the relationship tips and tools page or the podcast page of my website, abbymetcalf.com, for this particular episode. It's also where you can get all the downloads, either on the shop page or right there on the on the blog or the podcast page. Okay, so I have it for you everywhere. That's the love. So you can download things easily, find the resources easily. If you don't believe me, go look at the research I looked at. You know, it's really important to, I think if you've been following me for a while, you know the research is real that I quote. So I think after a while, you start to trust that that's there. And I appreciate that. But I also appreciate anybody who wants to go look, because I'm the one who's always looking. I'm always clicking on all that stuff. I want to read for myself and even see if what this person kind of got from the research is what I get from the research. And when you read a lot of research, you get better and better at understanding it and understanding what the authors are saying and not saying. So I invite you to become, you know, little PhDs in yourself, in knowing yourself, which you really already are, but maybe you haven't walked down the, you know, You haven't gotten to the stage yet to get your diploma. So the question I get asked a lot about rumination is, Abby, why do I do this even though I know it's bad for me? So my clients are smart. You're smart if you're listening. I always say that. I have smart listeners. I know I do. You know this isn't good. You know it as it's happening. So, and think of that. You've even though you've likely had proven negative consequences from this repetitive negative thinking, you still do it, right? But, and this is going to drive you even more crazy because you're asking yourself, why? I'm a reasonably together person in the rest of my life. What is my problem? Basically, you still do it because it's become a habit. Again, it's a habit of thought. So when we discuss the steps to stop, which we're getting to, you need to keep this in mind. What you're focusing on is breaking a mental habit. That is what you're focusing on. So let's go there. Let's talk about the 5 steps to stop or minimize, at the very least, rumination and repetitive negative thinking. Okay. First and foremost, you need to remember that you're not broken, but you, again, have gotten into an unhealthy habit that you need to change. So it's not going to be overnight. It's going to take attention and intention to turn the ship around. And let me say that, you know, what I said earlier about you might be on medication or medication might be recommended if you see a qualified health professional about your problem. It is not a magic pill. Taking a pill, really what it does is it helps your brain chemistry in a way that allows you to use tools that were previously feeling impossible to use. So that's what's important to know. I think people think, oh, if I just take a pill, I'll be all better. No, not at all. Matter of fact, medications really don't have a very high success rate without behavior modification as part of, without treatment, right? The pills aren't really, that's like a medical treatment. You need a psychological treatment too. Think of it that way. So everything I'm going to describe today, whether you take medication or not, is needed. Okay. Does that make sense? Good. So the following are 5 steps to help break the cycle of rumination and repetitive negative thinking. And number one, if this isn't your first day at Abby School, you know what I'm going to say. You should know right now. Yell it out. What's my number one answer to just about everything? Yes, mindfulness. You need to work on your mindfulness above all else. So you'll notice when the rumination is happening as early as possible. A lot of you notice, I know you do. I talk to my clients, I talk to you. You notice it, but you don't notice it soon enough. You're not getting on it, or you don't notice that it's been happening all day, and all of a sudden it's 4 o'clock, and you realize that you've been ruminating on the same thing all day long. You have to notice when you're doing it. If you haven't yet, it is definitely time to download my free mindfulness starter kit. And in there, I have all the resources you need around mindfulness and how to start doing it and how to make it a habit. And I mean, it's really, that thing is free because it's out of my love for you, my love, love, love. And for anyone who doesn't know, I do have to repeat this every time because I want to be transparent. Whenever you download anything from me, you will be placed on my weekly love letter list automatically. Okay. You will. But I get nothing out of this list, okay? I don't sell on that list. I don't, you know, you're not going to get 50 emails because I hate when I get those and I immediately unsubscribe. If you like the podcast, if you like me and what I'm doing here, you're going to love the love letter. Relax, take it in, go for it. And there's many thousands of people on there who would tell you it's the best part of their week because that's what they tell me. And it's an inspirational story, an educational story. It's a quick little read. It's just something meant to help motivate you and inspire you during your week to think different, to feel different. That's it. I don't have an ulterior motive. I'm not out to get you. I know these days it's so hard when we have our email places and all of a sudden we start getting bombarded. I do not do that. Okay. I just don't. So just being really clear. All right. So go download. And guess what? You can unsubscribe if you want after that. I'm not going to notice. There's a lot of people on there. I don't go look. So it's really okay. I will not be hurt at all. Number two, so you're going to be mindful. That's number one. You have to work on it. You have to make it like it's your job. Okay. Don't poo-poo it. Don't blow it off right now. Don't be thinking, oh God, mindfulness, please, Abby. No. Yeah. And again, the research is behind me 1,000%. Number two is that I want you to start very, very intentionally beginning your day with positive momentum. As I was referring to just a minute ago, it is very difficult to stop once you've begun ruminating. You know, right? You know. So you've got to get ahead of it. So how you begin your habit of thinking first thing in the morning is key. I talk about this so much. I have a step-by-step guide to starting your morning right. I have a, which again, I'll link to in the show notes and under this video. I have two episodes on what I'm about to talk about in these next couple from, again, episodes like 112 or 113, but I'll link to them about positive momentum and how to create it. But when you first turn off your alarm, that is the most important part of your day. The first thing you think about, directing your thoughts right away, getting in charge of them, training your brain that you're in charge. Not, you're not your mind's child. You are the master. You have to learn to become the master of your brain. That is what I teach on this podcast over and over and over. You have full responsibility. You need to do it. I am not blaming a victim. Trust me, if you have bad hard wiring there, which many people do, you got some screwed up neurotransmitters, which are sending all kinds of false, you know, information to your brain. It is the hardest by far for you. You've been diagnosed with OCD or anxiety or other things. Oh my gosh, it fucking sucks. Okay, it does. But you can't be a victim in your life. And I can't have you just thinking, oh, I go to therapy once a week and I take my medication. Not enough. Not enough. To me, it's like going to the gym once a week and saying you're going to be fit. You have to pay attention every day, or eating well once a week and saying I'm going to lose weight. That's not how it works. You have to pay attention to things every single day. You have to be working on it every single day. It doesn't have to take hours of your day. It doesn't have to take so much time. As a matter of fact, it's really minutes of your day when you get good at this. And again, I teach you how in those other videos, so in those other podcast episodes. So I don't want to go into that here. I want you to go listen to them and really get the nitty. I give nitty gritty. You know I do. I give very nitty gritty steps. So I want you to go listen. But you got to start your day with positive momentum and directing your thinking from the moment you wake up. You have to set intention throughout the day, right? I always say to focus on intention, setting your intention. I call intention chunking every time you task switch. Okay. Again, I have a whole episode on this, but I am going to say this part really quickly, what I mean by this. So when my alarm goes off, I am immediately setting I'm thinking about something positive right away. I bring my attention to something pleasant or pleasurable. Sometimes, you know, a lot of times it's just how great my sheets feel or how warm it is in bed or how warm Gary is next to me or whatever. Sometimes I look at, you know, I have these little seashells on this shelf, and I like to look at those and remember the vacations we've taken, where we picked those up or something. So do you know what I'm saying? Nothing big. You don't have to think of the happiest moment in your life. Just something that is letting your thoughts know that you're not going to lay there in bed hitting the snooze button 40 friggin' times and expect to have a good day. Not going to happen. And then going, oh, I didn't get enough sleep. Oh, this is terrible. What was wrong with me? Why didn't I go to bed last night? This is not going to be a good day. If you're anything like me, you're bad at asking for help, like weirdly bad at it. I've been a busy gal for a long time now. Kids, partner, my own business, all the things that make for a full life these days. And my instinct always was to just white knuckle it and do it all myself. But I say it on this show all the time. Ask for help. You don't have to do it all. And meanwhile, there I was doing it all. And I finally changed all that from my podcast editor to the person who got 10 years of photos off my phone and into albums I actually look at. I found amazing people to help me on Upwork, and I've been using them for the last 8 years. And you don't need a business for any of this, any project, any size, planning an event, sorting out something at home, finally handling the thing on your list you keep avoiding. Upwork lets you find, hire, and pay expert freelancers all in one place. With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours. No endless searching required. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help you and your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com. This is not setting yourself up for a great day and for being in charge of your thoughts. So you've got, so that's that first thing, right? Then I go in the shower, you know, or I go work out, or I go make breakfast, or I go drive to work. All those things are a task switch, right? I'm moving from one task to another. And every time I do that, it's my goal to set intention, to think about, oh, it's my intention to be mindful while I brush my teeth. Or it's my intention to think of three things I'm grateful for while I brush my teeth. It's my intention to be really loving to my children as I wake them up. It's my intention to be really present. That's mostly all I'm trying to do. When I'm driving to work, I think, be patient. I am a New York City driver. I have to tell you, I'm the worst. I get so impatient and crazy. I don't have road rage. Nothing that crazy, really. But considering how I tend to live my life day to day, it's a little out of alignment. Let's say that it's a little out of alignment. So I really focus. I'm driving to work. There's no rut. It's a mile from my home to my office. I'm really, you know, be cool, Abby. Just be cool. Life's going to be okay. You know, it takes you 5 minutes. So just trying to be in the moment, noticing my driving, being aware, being safe as I drive, not driving too fast, right? This is all, but before I'm doing this podcast, this is a task switch when I'm going to record. I sit and I set intention. I want to be of service. I want to be fully present. I want to be really focused on what I'm saying. I want every single person to walk away with one thing that helps them improve their day or their life or their moment. That one thing they think they can do that could be a little different. That one thing they could think that would help them feel a little different. That is what I do before I sit here. I jump up and down here in my office. I jump up and down. I get my energy up. Can you imagine if I was like, and then you gotta, I gotta bring the energy, right? I'm trying to reach you. I'm trying to motivate. I want to inspire you with great information that you can use. I want you to know all of those things. So guess what? I set an intention for that. And I do that over and over and over till I go to sleep. When I put my little head on my pillow, I set an intention for, I want to have a really restful night's sleep. I want to dream about beautiful things, even if I don't remember them. I never seem to remember my dreams. And I'm going to have wake up feeling really refreshed. I do that especially if for some reason I have to wake up earlier than usual, I know I'm getting less sleep, or I'm going to bed later than usual. And I do that intentionally especially when I know I'm going to have less sleep. So instead of deciding I'm going to be tired when I wake up, I decide I'm not. I'm like, you're not going to be tired when you get up. You're going to get up. You're going to go. It's going to be an amazing day tomorrow. You know, I'm already setting that. I'm already in charge. Do you see what I'm talking about? Yes. So go back and listen to those episodes. I will link to them. The third step is to ground yourself. When you catch yourself ruminating, do a quick grounding exercise and then have a mantra or new thought at the ready. A free gift for you, another free thing. You can download my free list of grounding exercises. You could do it right now. It's going to be, again, under the video, on my website, on the page for the podcast and the blog. It's a list of five grounding exercises, you know, again, from the research, not something I made up. You can find grounding exercises everywhere. You don't have to download mine. You can put that into Google and search away. You will find the most common grounding exercises. So the one I always talk about that I do the most often is I pick a color. And so here I am, right? I'm starting to ruminate about something. I'm scared. I'm worried about something, whatever it is. And I'll say blue, and I'll look around for anything blue, and I start naming the blue things. Oh, there's blue on my shirt. There's blue on this notebook. There's blue on my computer screen. There's blue, right? So I just start to do that. And what that does is it helps bring you into the moment instead of out into the past or the future, right? It brings you into this very, very moment. And then I have something at the ready, a little mantra, I might say, like, all is well in this moment. And, or everything is figure outable. Life is happening for me, not to me. I have survived everything in my past, and I will survive anything that's happening now. You know, whatever is true for you, don't say bullshit to yourself. Don't, you know, say some like, oh, my life is perfect and fabulous. If you don't believe that, don't say that, but find something you believe and do that. And then I would say to go to step four, which is distract. The research shows that distractions can really help when you're having rumination. So there's a lot of ways you can distract, but I would have things that you know you do. I mean, exercising is great no matter what for mental health. It really is, like, on every level, it's going to help your physical and mental health. So, I mean, exercise to me is more important than for your mental health than even your physical. I have to tell you, like, from all the research I see as far as keeping your brain active and your body. Yeah, yes, your body too, of course. But it really is a great way to stop ruminating. Here's the problem. If you just go for a long bike ride outside or a long jog or a run or a walk and all you're doing is ruminating, that's not helping. So you need to pick an exercise or something where you have to concentrate on it, where you have to focus, where you have to think about the things. So, you know, running endless miles isn't going to help if you spend the whole time ruminating. So do an activity where you need to focus. That could be on a treadmill, but you do hills, you know, where you have to constantly be, you're changing all the time. Obviously, working out with weights or anything like that, doing any kind of training like that. The interval training is always good. But I would say even better is to pick up an activity with other people. So you're fully engaged. Apparently, pickleball is all the rage here in the United States. I don't know. I don't play personally, but I don't, you know, tennis, pick something up, racquetball, where you could play with someone else regularly would be such a great distraction. And a time, if you're out on a golf course for 18, learn how to play golf. If you can afford that and have one near you, if you're out in a golf course for 18 holes with a group of people, you're probably not going to be ruminating. You might have a negative thought like, oh, I'm so embarrassed because I can't, you know, I'm a terrible golfer for a moment. But that's, you know, people are talking to you. You're talking to them. It's a great way to stay distracted. And guess what? If you're out there for a few hours, that'll be a few hours you haven't been ruminating. And remember, it's a habit of thought. So the more you break the habit, the better you are. Does that make sense? Like, so distraction works. Carry a book around with you. This is something I tell all my clients to do. And these days, obviously, you can carry that on an iPad or on your phone. You could have an app on your phone to read a book. But have a book at the ready so you can jump into reading whenever those kinds of thoughts persist. Right there, boom, I'm going to just read. And it doesn't have to be, you know, some self-help wonderful book, although you might want to buy my latest Boundaries Made Easy book or my Amazon number one bestseller, Be Happily Married, Even If Your Partner Won't Do a Thing. So, of course, you'd want to read an Abby book, but you can also read some trash, people. And do not call my books trash because they're fabulous. I mean some good trash, you know. I'm talking, I don't care, erotica or some Danielle Steele novel or is that, I don't know what that is. Anyway, I have to admit I haven't read her books, but you know what I'm saying. And you might not think they're trash, so I apologize to any fans out there. But it can just be something silly. It doesn't have to be a New York Times bestseller or anything. But it can also be something that helps you feel good, helps you feel motivated or inspired. It could be anything. It could be the Bible. I don't care. Carry your Quran around. Like anything that's going to help shift your focus and distract you. Most people know I'm a recovering heroin addict. And I'll say that one of the things that's great is that we have sponsors in the 12 steps. So, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous, all those anonymouses, we have people called sponsors who help guide us through the steps. And what's great is that you can call your sponsor at any time. Reggie, shout out to you, my sponsor. I can, you know, if I'm in a really bad space, I can call Reggie. But I also have a list of people. I can make some what we call program calls. And what's so wonderful, if I'm ruminating, to call someone and find out how they're doing, instead of me jumping in with like, oh, I'm ruminating, I'm trying to stop. Sometimes I say that. Sometimes I'm like, you know, but mostly I'll just say, I'm just wanting to hear how you're doing. How, you know, tell me what's been happening this week, how you feeling, you know, I just wanted to hear someone talk. Or sometimes I'll say, I've been ruminating, I'm trying to get myself out of it. Can we just talk for a few minutes? So whether or not, you don't have to be in the 12 steps to have a group of people, and you can do it the same way, call them program calls, have a group of friends, it could be family if they're supportive, but at least have two people you could call who to help you get out of, you know, that the compulsive habit, right? A thought to help you break the cycle. And when you call, don't talk about the thing you were thinking about. Okay. So if you're ruminating about a past relationship, don't call and talk about that. That's still ruminating. It's just with someone else. That's terrible. That's even worse, I think, because then you're ruminating together. It's terrible. But again, distract with something else. Ask them how they're doing. Help them solve a problem in their life. Talk about school, work, your kids, your dog. I don't freaking care. Talk about whatever. But don't go in to talk about the thing. That's not what you're doing. You're trying to distract. Distract is the idea. But to have a couple people on speed dial, I really push all of my clients who ruminate to have these people at the ready. Okay. And that shouldn't be your therapist, by the way, because this needs to be someone that you could call anytime. So, you know, my clients can't call me at 10 o'clock at night or because they're ruminating and want to just chat. That's not what I'm here for. So you need to find a person, you know, people that are outside of that realm. Okay. And number five is really if all else fails. So you've done 1, 2, 3, 4, nothing seems to be working. I say to set a worry timer, and you'll see this a lot in the research also. You can set a timer for anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes and truly set a timer and then take that time to allow yourself to worry. Now, I would want this time, though, to be a little more productive. So I want you to stop trying to figure out whatever's bothering you. So this shouldn't be a time to be solution focused. Instead, do some journaling, right? Or thought journaling, maybe you can think of it. I want you to use some prompts. I'm going to give you some prompts right now. And again, you can come over to the website later and get you know, on the Relationship Tips and Tools, the corresponding blog, and you can just copy and paste all these prompts. But I would love for you to either do this in writing or do it just in your head would be fine if you can't, you know, if you're not in a situation where you can write things down. But, and the prompts I usually have my clients work through is this. I have them start with, what's the worst that can happen and can I live through that? I know. You're like, worst that can happen? I'm already ruminating. Well, you might as well go there. You're already thinking it. So what is the very worst? You know, are you going to die? So maybe you can't live through that. What is the very worst? You're going to lose your job, become destitute, live under a bridge because no one will ever hire you again. That's okay, you know. Okay, go there. And then again, can you live through that? Will you be able to live through that? Picture it for a minute if you need to. Remember, you only have 15 to 30 minutes here, so you're not going to be picturing this all day. Then I'll say, what I'm most afraid of is, and that might be the same as what we just did, but it's often not, believe it or not. If you've done that first question really well. What I'm most afraid of is usually a little different, because you know, that first one might be, I'm going to lose my job, end up under a bridge and have no money. And then the second one, what I'm most afraid of is losing the respect of my partner, or losing, you know, my dad being disappointed. Like, you'll find that you're really, or being embarrassed in front of my friend or something like that. You'll find that it's usually not quite the same. And that's really the worst thing that can happen to you. You don't really believe you're going to end up under a bridge in a box, although maybe you do. But most people don't. Most people are really more afraid of something else. And then I go to the best that can happen is, so you have that situation that you're worrying about. What's the best thing? And maybe it's not very best, but maybe it's that I keep this crappy job. And I don't get fired, but I'm miserable at work. Sometimes that's the best. Other times the best that can happen is I quit this job, or I get fired and I get a great job, and I get the job of my dreams, and I'm actually happy at work. Whatever's true for you. Don't try to lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Just follow through. Say what is. Then I want you to answer, what else could be true about this situation? Right? Then you're going to write down that. What else could be true about this? It could be true that my boss is not even giving this a second thought, even though it's all I've thought about for a week, that I, you know, confronted her in a meeting last week. It could be true that nothing is going to happen at all. It could be true that they need me more than I need them. It could be whatever it is. Okay. It could be true that I'll lose this job, and maybe that goes to the best thing again, and get a better job. Whatever that is, what else could be true about the situation? Then, and there's two more. The next one is, what can I do right now to feel calmer? Not to solve this, but to feel calmer. So you might say, well, I could wash my face. I could I could take the dog for a walk. I could play with the dog. I could clean the kitchen. Maybe that's something that helps you not think about things. I could play really loud music and dance in my office for 3 minutes. I could call my best friend. I could, do you see that? Things you could do right now to feel more at ease, to feel calmer, to feel more comforted. And then the last one is, what could I think right now to feel calmer? Sorry. What could I think right now to feel calmer? I could think that everything is always working out for me. I could think that life is happening again for me, not to me. I could think everything's figure outable. I could remember that I've had a lot of challenges in my life, and I somehow always come out okay. So, right? So you would just follow that through. And I like the questions in that order. I mean, I would try not to take them out of that order. I've tried many things, you know, many ways of doing it. And that seems to be sort of the best way to get to something where you can stop ruminating and put yourself into another place. Okay. So, and again, if I just want to end with reminding you that if repetitive negative thinking, rumination is a big problem in your life, if it's getting in the way of your life, of work, of school, of feeling happy, feeling calm, feeling at peace, I really would like you, if possible, to seek out a qualified mental health professional. Again, possibly taking medication if it's really bad, if it's in that kind of place, or if that's really what's recommended. SSRIs are usually prescribed, you know, Prozac, Zoloft, Celexa, Lexapro, Paxil, right? Those are the ones most oftenly prescribed. But again, medication is not the be-all, end-all. And if those are things you cannot do, then you really have to go all in with my five steps. You have got to make it your job, because your happiness should be your job. And I hate that, your happiness. Your fulfillment, your satisfaction, your calm, your peace, your serenity, those should be your job. Those are very important things to aspire to. And again, remember that you can come over and download the grounding exercises and the mindfulness starter kit and look at all the resources to help. If this is an issue for you, go deep on the other episodes. Don't just stop here. Don't dig a hole halfway and then you didn't find gold and go, oh, I'm going to start and dig a new hole somewhere else. Keep digging. You're probably just about to touch it, but you got to do the work. This isn't a simple solution. This isn't going to be fixed overnight. You're going to have to really go after it. And I'm giving you the steps to do that. Because why? Because I love you. As always, thank you so much for spending time with me. I know there's a lot of ways you could spend your time, and it just means the world to me that you're here with me. I do love the comments under my videos. I love when you leave a review for the podcast, if you love it. Even if you watch on YouTube, please go over to Apple, leave a review. Spotify, you can rate. I can't respond to those other than to let you know I do read them and I love them and I appreciate them. But you can comment under the video on YouTube, and I do respond to the current ones. Sometimes people are responding, you know, commenting on videos from 3 years ago. I obviously don't have time to do all that. But the current ones, the last few, anything in the last couple months, I'm right there in the comment section. I'd love to hear your feedback, ideas for future topics. I get my best ideas from you, so please keep them coming. I want to make material that's relevant to you. I want to give you answers to the questions you have. So please let me know. Sometimes I have to say no because it's really out of my purview or it's not my specialty. But a lot of times I can get that job done. All right. Oh, love you so much. Have an amazing week. And I will talk to you real soon.
Thank you for listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast with wonderful me, Dr. Abby Metcalf. And I've got two quick things to say. Just give me one more minute. First, I love spending this time with you, and I work hard to make sure every single episode is going to help you move from any feelings of frustration or resentment or anxiety to that connected, hopeful confidence. That's always my goal. So if you have any ideas for a future episode or just want to say hi, let me know what the podcast is doing for you. Anything. You can email me at abby@abbymetcalf.com. How simple is that? And the second thing I want to say is if you like the podcast, you're going to go crazy for my book. My book is really good. I'm really proud of it. You can find it on Amazon or on my website under the shop section on my website at abbymetcalf.com. It's called Be Happily Married, Even If Your Partner Won't Do a Thing. And even if your partner will do a thing, the book will still really help you. So that's it. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you soon.